What's going on? We are back. I am super excited about us being back as we are talking about, as you just saw, my book. That's what we're doing today. So I am, we are on chapter three. We did chapter one and chapter two already. So we are in chapter three of my book, Authentic Transparency. So again, welcome to another exciting episode of I Am Shatoria, as we're talking about authentic transparency. And this is where we are diving into pages of my insightful book and had a real conversation about it. And so we are talking about the challenges and the perspective, and we're igniting conversation, y'all. So you got to peek. If you do not have the book, it's right there. We are definitely having conversation. And it's crazy how we are talking about this book in every way possible that can be talked about. But we are. It's really sensitive. Things are being said. So, you know, we got to be ready. As I said before, I'm your girl, Shatoria Christian. I am your host. I am the owner, founder of I Am Shatoria, the brand, LLC. And so I'm also the author of Authentic Transparency. And I'm also the author, the editor of Vidal Magazine, where we're out here just living our best life. You know what I'm saying? So today, our focus is really different today, as we are now focused on chapter three. And that one is a little different. Okay. So it's a little different. So our focus in this episode, like I said, is on chapter three, A Child's Fear. Oh my God. This one right here is a little bit different. And remember, we are talking from my book, Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness, the Freedom. Again, we're in chapter three of the book. So I hope if you have the book, you're following along, you're asking yourself some questions. And like I said, we're going through it as I'm actually rereading some parts as well. So, you know, it's all right. So our focus in this episode is the thought-provoking fear. Like, what is that? Okay. Now, let's double back real quick though. Like I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about every chapter in the book. We're going to get into it. There will be some disclaimers for some, like we're going to really get into it. And so I told you, grab your tissue, make sure you have your book, send your questions. Like if you got questions for certain chapters that you've already read, send them beforehand. And probably I can answer them while I'm here. So definitely send them beforehand. So let's do that. And so what we talked about before was the first two chapters, which is Order of Freedom and Foundation. I'm all over the place. Foundation. All right. And so we are speaking about my favorite three F's: faith, forgiveness, and freedom, and what that looked like. And yesterday, I'm sorry, in last episode, I asked the question, what is faith? What is forgiveness? What is freedom? What does that look like? So we are really trying to have a conversation about these real things, what they are, what they mean, and to also make sure that you are in a space to where you're like, oh man, I'm taking this in. Because at the end of the day, my story, I walked it, but it's not for me. So my biggest prayer is that someone definitely get something from this. Okay. Someone get something from this. Now, as we are into these chapters, do understand the goal is just to put out wisdom and just to be transparent and honest. And one of the biggest things that I asked yesterday is about hurt. And a lot of times we can't get from what we need to get. Now, that question is very important today as we're talking about hurt. Because yes, last episode, I talked about what was your first hurt. I'm giving you that question again. What is your first hurt? What hurt you? Like, what hurt you? What is that first hurt? And that is very important as we're getting into this episode about a child's fear. That is so important to know where your pain comes from. And we're talking about fear and pain today. Where does your pain come from? Where do your fear come from? Let me tell you, my first hurt, like I told y'all on the last episode, is that my hurt came from the fact that I didn't feel protected by my mother. I didn't feel protected. because I felt like if I cried at anything, it would suck it up. You're not crying. We're not doing that. That was my hurt. That was my pain. And so I am literally sitting here going, wow, that was really my first hurt. So one of the biggest examples I want to give that is funny that I just read on and I use it at the school is we have a plant and you see this plant growing. But the problem is a lot of times plants get too big for the container that they're in. And sometimes we need to be taken out, cleaned off and replanted. A lot of times that's not happening. And so what I mean by that is when we're not removed from certain situations, we can't grow. You know what I mean? And sometimes location hurts. Sometimes people hurt. You know, we're not getting the right water. The soul is not right. It hurts. So we have to be mindful of that when we are going through and we're like, man, this hurt. You have to look at what is the root of your pain. What is the root? And a lot of times we have not been cleaned off. So what is the root of your pain? So you got to ask yourself, what is your first hurt? For me, my first hurt, like I said, was the pain of my mother not acknowledging me, not acknowledging my pain, not acknowledging the hurt that I have. I'm a little kid. I don't know how to operate my feelings. I'm human. How do you operate feelings? How do you operate how someone treats you? How do you operate an understanding of what matters? I'm a child. I don't know. Again, that's like telling a child, don't go touch that outlet. And they don't know. One of the things that I've learned about the Bible and what, you know, it says about certain things is children are innocent until they're taught otherwise. And so I look at my daughter. My daughter is a complete kid. She's 9. She's playing with dolls. There's really things she doesn't know about adult things because I want her to keep her innocent because I know when she leaves this house, the way the world is set up, the world is going to happen to where they want to corrupt her mind in every way. So my job is to protect it at every cost, even though I know there are things she needs to know. This is something I know. And so I feel like there was points in my life where I just was not protected. So that's when my first hurt came. And that first hurt literally caused some fear. It caused fear. It caused problems. It really did. It did some things to me and for me. And so I am very clear about that pain now to where, you know, I work to try to get over it. So we are going to be hitting in about fear and pain today and what that looks like. All right. We're going to hit in. We're going to talk about this pain. We're going to talk about all that. In the meantime, take 30 seconds. Make sure you get yourself together. We got to get riled up. We got to get ready as we are about to get into this. So I want you to start thinking about what is your first hurt. But then I want you to start thinking about what is pain? What is fear? All right. Be back in 30 seconds. Authentic transparency. Forgiveness to freedom. Come and read a story about my faith. Learn all about my forgiveness and forgiving of others. How I embrace the freedom that I currently have. You can get Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom at Amazon and iamshatoria.com. All right, so we are back and we're kicking in again. Welcome back to all those who are just not joining us. You're listening. And so we are here at the I Am Shatoria podcast as we're talking about A Child's Fear from my book, Authentic Transparency. Okay. And we're talking about A Child's Fear, chapter 3 of my book. So make sure you are getting it and you are rocking it. And so you can also get this book, a signed copy of this book at iamshatoria.com/merch, where I will kindly sign for you. Okay. I'm really excited because this book came out in 2021 and I didn't do a lot with it. Like I should have marketing wise, but I grown and I learned. And look at us now. We are shaking, moving and budging. All right. So sorry, I'm yawning because it's evening time. Oh, wow. Instead of me, somebody's yawning near me somewhere, probably my kid. So yeah. All right. So, I left you with the first hurt. What was yours? You know, I told you mine. So what was yours? But now let's get into the question. What does fear and pain look like? Let me tell you. Does it have a look? I mean, let's be honest. Does it have a look? And so I wrote in, remember I told you the last episode, I'm going to be going through my book itself. As I taking some notes, and yes, I wrote it, but sometimes I got to go back because I get a different revelation myself. But what does fear and pain look like? What does it look like? What does it seem like? What does it do? That's important to know and understand what fear looks like, because baby, I didn't know. That was new for me. So one of the biggest things about fear is, fear can come as a punch. Fear can slowly press in. It really depends. So one of the things I think about is Adam and Eve. And so when Adam was made, you know, he was made in God's image. But then, you know, Adam went in and created, you know, he named all these animals that God had created. He named everything and God was like, yes, that's good. Yes, that's good. I mean, I think about those things. I think about the life was just great. It was going good. And then, you know, Adam needed a mate, so he made Eve. And things was good, but God only had that one rule, and that was do not eat from the tree. There's condemnation. And I thought about how they did the total opposite. And all of a sudden, there's fear, there's doubt, there's hurt, there's pain. And I'm like, man. But for me, when I read that, there's a transition for me in that. Because they just didn't eat it. Something knocked at the door. And so for me, that's where fear comes to play. And fear equals pain to me. Fear brings on pain. Because think about this. As a child, I told you last episode, I was afraid of a lot of things. And I realized as a child, I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the dark because I was made to be afraid of what worked in the middle of the night. And as we are in chapter 3, chapter 2, apologize. As we're on chapter 2, when we get to chapter 4, you're going to now understand the creepiness of the night. But we are talking about fear and how it brings on. And so I was afraid of the night. I was afraid of the dark things because of things that happened in the dark. You know what I'm saying? Like things that happened. And so that really played a part in me and my growth to where I was afraid of people. Like I really was. I was afraid of people. I needed a verification. I needed validation. I needed love. I'm really big on the 5 love languages. And so now I know that affirmations and physical touch was always my thing. And so the fear was rejection. And that is something that I got. So when I say, what does fear and pain look like? That's why I said, does it have a look? Does it? Because it's one of those things to where I can look at someone and not realize they're fearful of something. Are they in pain? Are they hurting? Because the pain and the fear is not visible. You know what I mean? And as for myself, I was really big about wearing a mask. I'm very clear about it. All through school, and we'll talk about it also. All through school, I wore a mask, y'all. Let me tell you something. I had a smile. Still cute too, by the way. And I smiled. People did not know that I had a fear, that I was hurt, that I needed the validation to know I was somebody and something, because I was feared. I had fear of that abandonment, that rejection, because that's all I knew, to where it became a norm. And so that's why I asked the question, what does fear and pain look like? For me, when I think about the fear that was placed, I realized when it was kind of done. So here's the thing, without telling my mom's story, my mom had a couple of DV relationships, and I realized a lot of fear played into that. However, One of the biggest fear for a lot, one of the biggest pains that was implemented on her was the death of her father, my grandfather, James Jones Sr. Oh my God, y'all, he was so cool. If you read my book and if you heard me on my last podcast, I love stuffed animals. I am a stuffed animal person. And so he started my love of teddy bears. And it's crazy how God do things, because his name was James, and my late grandfather, my grandmother's last husband who died before her, his name was James, and they was just alike. He also will hook me up with, he will hook me and my sister up with teddy bears. So it was a thing. But as my mother died, when he passed, I never forget, it was in 1989. I remember him. I remember seeing him, and then I remember not seeing him, and it was the weirdest thing. And so I remember the last Valentine's I saw him, he brought us these big like stuffed animals. And again, I love stuffed animals. And I remember my mom telling me, you know, he's gone. And I was like, huh? But here's the thing. My first reaction with death was not hers, because now it is a different transition. My mother's reaction to his death was she became very bitter and very angry. And the crazy part about it is, here's the thing. She probably already was bitter and angry because, again, she had issues going on. But however, his death rose it. Let me tell you, one of the biggest thing I saw was a little girl come out of my mother. And the crazy part about it is I became the same way when my grandfather passed. When the one who raised me passed, I became this little girl. And I hated. I was this little girl. I was trapped. I was hurt. I was in pain. I questioned a lot. And knowing my mother, she questioned it too. I know she questioned things because I saw her anger just. And so when I look at my first reaction to death, oh my God, it took me out. Because my first reaction with death was, okay, he died. He dead. I don't know. And that was my reaction a lot with death, until I was able to start to comprehend what it was to be without a person. So here's the thing. My grandfather's death really didn't do anything to me from him outside of, it was an absence. But my mother, oh buddy, it changed the course of our household. And I mean, it changed the course. And when I say it changed the course, y'all, it changed, and it changed quickly. And that's where everything started to like make a difference. And so I had to learn survivor mode through fear. That makes sense. Survivor mode through fear. And let me tell you, say what you want. But when you go into survival mode as a child, it's a different beast, because you're going in not prepared, not equipped, not ready. And it's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous game to play. We're going to continue here in about 30 seconds. Stand. All right. So we are back. As you see, we have the I Am Shatoria. We have the author transparency book, where you can get it from IamShatoria.com merch. So we are back. And again, we are talking about A Child's Fear, chapter 2 of the Authentic Transparency book. And I left you off with the question of what does fear and pain look like? And I talked about a relationship with death and how that literally changed the course of my life and what that looked like. And so I told you, once my grandfather, my mom's dad, passed. It was a shift. It was a change in her to where she became angry. And honestly, I think that was something that was already there because of other situations. But again, my mother became this young, this little girl. And so one I really want to say is in my book, on page 10, if you look at the second paragraph, it says, my fear started in our apartments, the bars that cover every door and window, and even down to the brick wall that held the building up, helped enclose every fear and demon that enters. I look back at that now, and that is huge for me. So let me say that again. My fear started in our apartments, the bars that cover every door and window, and even down to the brick wall that held the building up, held the building up, helped enclose every fear and demon that enters. So every demon and fear that entered into our home was there. It was there. And that is important for you to understand that I'm saying, because that was no space to be healed. There was no space to smile and have joy. It was literally pain in every corner, because every demon, everything that walked through that door did not leave. I think now, with the spiritual eye and the spiritual being that I am, if I was to walk back into that, I can feel and see and be like, it's too much. Because I'm going to tell you, as a child, it was too much. I dealt with a lot with that as a child. And so I had to understand. I didn't understand. It was a lot. And it was hard to digest the issue that was going on, you see? So one of the things that I want to definitely talk about with the fear and the anger is, fear and the pain is, we act out of anger. My mother acted out of anger. I talked about in chapter 2 also is discipline of children. That is going to always to the title with people, you know, that's that. However, people discipline of discipline. However, there's a difference between discipline and beating out of anger. There's a difference. And one of the biggest things my mom did was we got punishment out of anger, not out of love. There was no explanation of what happened. It just happened. And so this says her beatings were her allowing her anger out and trying to break away from her own pain. It was like if she beat more, she could be free. But at the same time, we were becoming prisoners to her fear with no release date. Her beatings was allowing her anger to come out and trying to break away from her pain. It was like if she beat more, she could be free. But at the same time, we became prisoners to her fear with no release date. Ah, that hurts. And again, as I'm reading these things, it's a lot of things are beginning to, again, revelation to me on that one. So that one is a tough one. We became prisoners to everything that hurt her. And me becoming a prisoner to everything that hurt her damaged me as a child, because at the same time, my fear became fearful of my mother and not in a positive way. You know, I wasn't fearful of having something taken at that time. Now, as I became an adult, I started to become fearful of the things around me. I started to become fearful of the people around me. I got scared for even looking wrong. And that's real life. And so one of the things that my mother allowed was for fear to control the spaces. And that's what we do. We allow fear to control spaces. I know, because that was me. Fear literally paralyzed me a lot, which we'll go into the next episode called Fear Not, which is chapter 3 of my book. And so I feared my mother. I feared her tremendously, because my mother had a lot of pain, and her fearness, what she was scared of, was placed in us. That was a spirit that as a child I could not handle. And when I say I could not handle it, I could not handle it. It allowed me to be an individual of hate, pain, scaredness. My pain became a lot. And that's the thing about pain. Other people's pains travels to open-hearted people. Being open-hearted is my strength and my weakness. I determine I will have the heart of God. And as a child, I look at my child now, and my child has a heart for people. She do. So when I see Janae, I see me. And that's what the nervousness with a little bit, because I'm like, God, take care of her. Holy Spirit, guide her, because I didn't have anyone saying that for me. Again, my mother wasn't a bad person. My mother just had spirits that she had not yet dealt with. And that is the problem. When you don't deal with what's holding you, then it controls you. And that's exactly what happened. And my mother pain traveled through us, through her rage, her beating us, calling us names, breaking us down. That is what she did. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Doesn't mean she wasn't a good person. But the person that was my mother at that time was a person with hurt, pain, had not been uprooted, cleaned off, reexamined, and replanted. That is not what happened at that time. Like, I remember clear as daylight, Beverly North was a hurt person. She lost her dad. And there's pictures of when her and my grandfather was together. I love them. It showed me the type of relationship she had, but I really didn't know where her pain really strived from, because that was pain before that. And that's something that I questioned. Like, wait, why? What hurt you? Was it the fact that your parents divorced? Because my grandparents got divorced. Why did you choose to act out in the manner that you did, to where men was her act out and it later became mine? So one of the things that I said was, again, other people's pain travels to open-hearted people. But another thing is spirits travel. Let me tell you, one of the things I learned is spirits are like leeches. I'm talking about they latch. And when you are not guarded with the word, when you're not guarded, you're not guarded, you're an easy target. And baby, let me tell you something. I was a little girl, so I was an easy target. I saw what my mom did, and I was like, ooh, I like that. Yeah, I can do that, because she's getting validation. And I wanted validation, but I wanted it from my parents, my mother and my father. And my parents were definitely both. Call like it is. They both were absentee. People may not always agree. It is what it is. We're past that now. So the truth is the truth. They were absentee, and I needed that validation from them. I needed to know that you loved me. I needed to know that I was what you wanted. I needed to know that I was worth something. And at that time, that is not what happened. At that time, that's not what I was told. At that time, that's not what I felt. At that time, it was like kicking me in my chest. It did not matter. I wasn't worthy. I wasn't. That's what I thought. And so spirits, they travel. And a lot of my mother spirits traveled to me. A lot of her ways, I did. And we'll get into that throughout the chapters. Oh, I did. I sowed some seeds, y'all. I sowed some seeds. So I'm honest about it. I sowed some seeds. It is what it is. I sowed seeds. What you want me to do, lie? I did. I mean, people who know me personally know, oh, we sowed seeds, okay? Now, I will say my mother did. She had her moments where she definitely wanted to try to make moments, precious moments for us. One of my biggest moments, y'all, in this little raggedy apartment. I'm gonna tell y'all something about this apartment. This apartment, and I'll talk about this apartment in chapter two. This apartment was a 2-bedroom apartment. It was about maybe 1,000 square feet, if that. But I have good memories too, though. I won't lie. So one of the ones was my 7th birthday. Here's the funny thing, y'all. My 7th birthday, before I became this adult, my 7th birthday was my first and my last as a kid. So my 7th birthday, I remember very clearly, cousins was there. We was in this living room, and we had this, if you ever watched like those 80s, 90s shows, we had this sofa that had, like, y'all, it looked like it was made out of wool. I don't think it was, but it looked like it. And it had all these stripes, and it was tannish. I have a picture of it, but it was tannish. It had like these stripes in it. And there's a picture of me and my sister sitting on that couch in our Care Bear shirt, by the way. So it was my 7th birthday. If I was 7, that means D was 5, Tang was 3, and Val was just born, actually. Yes, Val was just born. And so I remember that day, and we had this little cake. People were singing happy birthdays. My mom really did her thing to try to make sure I had a great birthday. And the crazy part, the same year her dad died, this was 1989. So 1989 was my first and my last birthday, because after that, everything just went downhill. I remember the one Christmas at the house. And if my memory serves me correct, she was pregnant with Tang. I remember she was bent over that one Christmas. Now, the Christmas of 1989, I will not forget that, because we woke up to so many gifts. I do remember that. And then I remember when she was she was pregnant with my baby sister Val. And I remember her on the floor, y'all, still. And you would have thought birthing would have been a thing. But I remember her being crunched over in labor pains. And y'all, she was hot and mad. I'm a whole adult. I get it now. But these are some memories that I do remember that I still laugh about that I have. And so, So one of the things that I have is, one of the questions that I do have is physical pain versus emotional pain versus spiritual pain. Let me tell you, there are three different pains. Sometimes they come all together. Sometimes they're very separate. For me, in particularly in a child's fear, my physical pain, I didn't know what spiritual pain was at that time. We didn't go to church like that. At that time. And when we get into chapter 3, fear not, you'll hear about my church experience. But I didn't know what spiritual pain was, because I honestly didn't know who God was. I didn't know who Jesus was. I did not hear it be talked about. That was not a thing. Prayer wasn't our thing. We went to bed. We didn't say grace. That's what it was. Physical pain and emotional pain. So when I say physical pain versus emotional pain, my emotional pain was worse than my physical pain, because my emotional pain lasted way longer. My emotional pain lasted until I was an adult, well into my adulthood, to where I didn't know how to deal with certain situations. My physical pain was for a time, was short, but it's something I always remember, which turned into the emotional pain and the mental side of it. Like I told you last episode, there are still bruises I still have that showcases that pain. I mean, I'm honest. I'm very cool. Look, we're being honest about it. So these are things that really, that I remember. And so one of the things that I will talk about, there's a disclaimer in this. So I'm letting you know now, there's a disclaimer about what I'm going to say when I talk about my physical pain. So when I talk about physical pain, I never forget catching my mother in the act. I think that's every child's fear at some point. I won't lie. Catching your parents in the act. I caught mine. And I never forget, it was 4th of July. In our two-bedroom apartment, my sister had a serious case of nosebleeds. And it's crazy, y'all, because even up until now, I think she still have nosebleeds. But she had a nosebleed. And at the time, we had two beds at that time, one on each side of the wall. And I remember her nosebleed, and I remember getting up. And so I can go tell my mom, and I caught my mom in the act. Y'all, I can remember as if it was yesterday. And so I caught my mom in that situation. And I, in my head, I'm like, ooh, because I did not, but I swear I did not. But it was the aftermath of that. And I remember my mother beating me with the end of the belt, the part with the stick on it, the iron part. She had it wrapped around her hand. And yeah, I remember that. And let me tell you the fear I had after that. And so I want to read
that part, because here's the thing. It's not the fact that she whooped me behind that. It's the fact of what the man said. And this is when a lot of my ability to understand self-worth came in. So I talked about catching her in a compromised position. And it says, I froze in time for a few seconds, taking it in what I've seen. And let me tell y'all, I still have that, as an adult, I still got that vision. But again, I'd be like, Jesus, why do I have these memories? But I get it now. So it says, before my mother came into the room, I could hear her and the man talking. I remember him saying something smart to my mom, like she didn't have control over us or something. If she did, then I wouldn't have walked in on them. She needed control, and for him to say what he did showed her she didn't have it. Because of me, he left, as I was told. She came into our room, which had two twin-size beds with a brown five-drawer rectangle dresser in the middle of them. I remember seeing the belt in her hand, and she went swinging. I was beaten with the buckle part of the belt. That metal part hurt and stung my entire body. My legs and my hands hurt from trying to block the hits. Everything hurts because it seemed like every part of my whole body was hit. That little girl with the big smile and missing teeth, was in pain and emotionally hurt, not from kids picking on me, but being the reason to cause my mother to feel the rejection she felt when she was told she was a bitch or a hoe who can't control her kids. I thought I knocked on the door. The hits felt like lightning bolt striking my body. It wasn't the hits from the belt, but the anger that came with the hits. The physical pain lingered for a while, but the mental pain lasted years, which flowed into decades. So, sorry. It's the little girl with the big smile and missing teeth was in pain emotionally. And so, again, I'm good. As I'm going through these things, understand I'm good. It's just, I'm thinking about the growth, okay? The growth of that little girl, because here's the thing. Everybody have their memories. And I remember that day as if it was yesterday. I remember the swinging of the arm and knowing my mother was beating me out of her anger because she could not take her hurt out on anything else. My mother did not like rejection at all. She didn't. She didn't like rejection. And so I grew up not liking rejection. Rejection hurt. Rejection was painful. Rejection made me feel like I wasn't wanted and abandoned. And literally that's what my parents felt like when I went to go stay with my grandparents. It was nothing against my grandparents. But I did. I hated my parents to the core. Because I in my head, why you didn't want me? And so for me in this moment, in this, my mother beat me out of pain, out of rejection, out of abandonment, not having control. And I know for me, that is something that was big for me, is control. To so much so I had to figure out ways to be out of the mindset of wanting control of everything. So when me and Ron renewed our 10-year vows, that was the first time I relinquished control of something that was near and dear to me. And I had to trust God in that. That was nothing but faith. And I'm glad I did. Because now I'd be like this. Oh, you plan this out for me? Go ahead then. Do what you do. I trust you. I've learned to listen and to understand the emotion of children because I was the one that didn't have that. I never want to be a reason why children don't have light. I never want to be the reason why they lose their light. I never want to be the reason why my daughter does not trust to have conversation. I never want to be the reasons why we try to figure out why things happen the way they do. I don't want to be the reason for any of those things. You know, I want to be the reason why when people see me, they go, oh my God, your daughter's this, 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 and this. I want to be that reason. I don't want to be the reason my daughter has emotional pain. I don't want to be someone who disciplined her out of anger. I don't want to be that individual. So I thank God for the growth that I have, because I'm telling you that growth is serious. I am big about conversations. I am big about talking things out, because I remember being that little girl who could not speak, who could not talk, who could not do anything without feeling the pain
emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's everywhere. And so I think about those things and I'm like, I don't want to be that person. And so when I think about my mom, I think about her fear. My mother put fear in me. And just like I said earlier, when you had Adam and Eve and you had Satan come, the serpent with his little self come and had the conversation with Eve, that's exactly what happened to my mom. My mom was made to feel like she was not worth anything. So she basically did what she did out of anger because she hadn't been released from her pain at all. She has not been released. And that's a learning thing. That's a learning thing. I'm going to be back as I get myself together, as we get ready to wrap up. But as we get, what you're going to see right now, you're going to see me and my boy, Joshua Bray. Bailey. Joshua Bailey, aka JB2B. You're going to see a little clip from our episode. If you had not seen this, you have not seen this episode, please go and see our January 30th episode with me and my boy JB. Well, we ain't even got a topic for the show, y'all. We're just acting up, okay? All right, go check him out.
I gotta make a correction to that intro. I'm a creator.
Oh, okay, my bad.
My mind is able to do whatever it wants to do and it can imagine.
Oh my God. I'm not about to play with you today. I see where we about to go. So here's the thing. These are two retired. So for people to know, we are both retired military now. We are both living our best life. Like it's crazy. So you retired a month before I did.
September 1st?
October 1st.
Okay. Let me articulate a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? Like they know us in the country, right? The viewers know.
Okay, before you go there, all right. So the crazy thing about me and JB is me and JB didn't officially meet until DC timeframe. Yep. However, though, come to find out, we're like what? 20 miles, if that, from where we lived.
Yeah.
And then I graduated 01, you graduated 02. We're gonna first start with what is faith? Let me tell you something. I am a faith individual. If you know me, you see me on social media. If you on my Facebook page, you know it's at Shatoria Faith Christian. No, that is not my middle name. However, let me tell you, everything about that word stands with me. I am a faith person. I stand on it as it is. Who I am, what I breathe. I have mustard seed in my office. And when I give out or when I send packages to clients or whatever, I put a mustard seed in there because I think it's important to remember and know that our faith is strong. So it goes back to the end of what I said, what is faith? So faith is a strong belief of believing in something that you don't see. Let me tell you, I got a vision board. You can't see, but I have a vision board here. Well, I have this particular vision board, and then I have my dry erase vision board that's going on. All right. So that was also the episode before this one. So if you did not catch that one, that is February 1st episode. So make sure you catch that one also, where I give my intake on what faith is. Now, as I end today, for those who are just not joining, as we're about to go, you are talking with your girl, Shatoria Christian, the owner of the I Am Shatoria brand. We are talking today. That is what we're doing. We are talking about my book, Authentic Transparency. And we are in chapter 2. Of A Child's Fear. So if you do not have this book, I'm telling you, get yourself this book. You can get a signed copy at iamshatoria.com/merch. And I promise you, I got you, boo. We are here for it. So make sure you get your items. Again, I thank everybody who has been hanging out with us the whole entire nine. It has been dope. But I want to leave you with this. I don't have it typed up, but I want to leave you with this. This is on page 15 of my book. It's actually the last sentence of this chapter. And it's really, really big for me. So it says, a child's fear will not only damage their soul, but the light that burns in their eye. I leave you with that as I am tracking what real love is. You know, here's the thing. I want you to think about this. We've already talked about our first hurt, how that transitioned into anger. We talked about how we act out in anger, how fear control our spaces. And we talked about how people, pains travel to other people. And it does. It travels. And so we also talk about how spirits are like leeches. They be moving, y'all. They just be, they move. They move. I'm telling you, they move like it's nothing. And so we have to be mindful of that, because I'm telling you now, they don't care. They do not care at all. And so we have to be mindful of these things. And so what else did we talk about today? We talked about physical pain versus emotional pain versus spiritual pain. We talked about that as well. And remember that you control it all. Do not act out of anger. Do not go after something because of the way it makes you feel in that moment. Look where the pain is coming from. Think about it. Pray about it. Acknowledge it. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging your pain. Don't be afraid to say that hurt. One of the things I don't want to happen, though, is people pain turn into fear. Because a child's fear, tell you something, when you mess with children of God and you take something and make it a fear, he has a problem with that. So always remember what you are instilling in people. Knowing how you bring in pain to people. Y'all, I'm telling you, that matters. That matters, okay? That matters. So again, if you have not gotten my book, again, iamshatoria.com/merch. Get your copy of Author Transparency. I will sign it for you. Also get your copy of my new magazine, Videl Magazine, and get ready for May issue. Will be coming out. We are representing in May issue. We are looking at Mother's Day, Father's Day. You don't got to represent the dads, and you know, because they out here doing that thing too, period. Also in July, the magazine will cover May through May, June, July, August. That's right. So May through August, it will cover. And so July, me and my husband will be celebrating 14 years. So be ready as we are taking and going in on marriages. Like, we're about to have some conversations about them, okay? So we're going to talk about some marriages. And so, and getting ready to get everybody ready back for school. What do you prefer? Homeschool, sending your kids to school, whole time? Nah, that's a lot of changes coming. So get your dedication magazine and get your first issue that just came out January 16th with my girl Angie Pinckney on the cover. Get yours. But again, thank you guys for joining me today. You know, I always, always say, we walk in love, we live fearlessly, and have a whole lot of faith. If you don't have nothing else, have these things, all right? I thank you guys for joining me today. Y'all are real dope, you know? Y'all are really, 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 really dope. All right. So thank you for joining me. I love you guys. Talk to you later.